Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, we're going to kill it tonight here. I'm excited about this show. This is going to be a good show. I'm following on the heels of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman and the Blitz. Fanatics, football freaks, you loyalists and purveyors of the beautiful game. Well, guess what? We're going to talk about it for the next 2 hours. Welcome into this space where you, the football fan, all right, a.k.a. soccer fan, reign as king. And by the way, even if you're, you know, a casual fan or you're somebody that wants to weigh in, you're always welcome here because sometimes that leads to some of the best radio conversation. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. The call-in number throughout the night is 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. We got a great lineup here. We got three U.S. internationals on this show, actually four. Tim Howard, who's a goalkeeper for the Colorado Rapids. We all know him from his days at Manchester United and Everton. He's a fellow New Jerseyan. He is now in the Colorado Rapids, still with the U.S. national team. He's going to join us tonight. He'll weigh on everything Major League Soccer coming back to Colorado and how that team is defending so well as a unit. Tim Howard will be here in Houston this weekend, so I suggest you if you want to see Howard in action, the big star of the 2014 World Cup for the United States, well, he will be here in the flesh, and he's on this show tonight. Casey Keller will weigh in from U.S. national team camp. We'll ask him a bit about the national team. But we're going to ask all of these guys tonight about Bob Bradley being hired as the manager at Swansea. And a lot of takes, and it's pretty polarizing. It's interesting. I'm going to give you some samples of what people have been saying, give you a little bit of my opinion, and we will want to take yours at 713-780-3776. Eric Winalda will also be on the show tonight. We'll ask him. He played for Bob Bradley in Chicago. We'll ask him. My gut is everybody's going to be very supportive of Bob Bradley. And, well, why wouldn't you? If you've watched his career, he has done something no other American coach has ever done. And that simply is carve out a career in Europe. Take real risk when it comes to the international side of management. But this is a watershed moment because it's the first ever American manager in the Premier League. So there'll be a lot of judgment. There already is a lot of judgment. Everybody's weighing in on what the criteria was for him to get the job. We all do know, and I know this from interviewing Bob Bradley and growing up in New Jersey and knowing about him, that he is very detailed. He will interview very well. I don't think there's any question. Also, American ownership at Swansea. That plays into it. Landon Donovan is a minority interest owner at Swansea. Doesn't matter. He's gotten it done. And people can say he deserves a shot or not, or somebody else deserves it. He's getting a shot, and he does deserve it because of the positions he's put himself in, the risk he has taken with his coaching career, and I think his unwanted, his just insatiable desire to continue to learn about coaching. So we'll talk about that tonight. We'll take your calls at 713-780-3776. Just a bit of a sad note here to start things off tonight. And there's a guy I know. His name is Cowboy Lara. Great guy from down in the LaPorte Deer Park area. Did a lot of coaching down there. Did a lot of work with youth down there. Passed away. Our thoughts are with the Lara family. His sons, Mike and Joey, played in the youth club that I ran. But more importantly, Cowboy Lara, their father, was a guy who helped organize and work on the game at the grassroots level because his passion for it. And it was sad to hear that. I got a message today from a good friend, Carlos, who's a buddy of mine who also grew up and was coached by him. But Carlos reminded me, Carlos Martinez reminded me that this had happened. I did not know about it. Didn't remind me, but broke the news to me. So yeah, he was a veteran. I don't know any details about anything, but he did love the game, and he did do a lot of good work with young kids. So we honor Cowboy Lara tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, and our thoughts go out to the family. We also welcome in tonight the King's Court, a new sponsor to the show. That is a pub right down by the Dynamo Stadium. Clearly, it's a spot to be. I was in there after some of the last couple games. I'm going to go down there. This is the King's Court. It's right on the edge of downtown on 903 Hutchins, right by the south side of the stadium. It's the closest. I think it's even closer than the other pubs. But this is more of a soccer place. It's a killer British pub. They got incredible food, Indian food. They got a rooftop, a great view of downtown, great DJs in there. It's a really cool, very different vibe. I do know it houses the Manchester United Supporters Club with Tom Clare. I do believe Jesus Martinez and the Chelsea, the Bayou Blues, Bayou City Blues are going to be in there as well. But it's a great place to catch games on the weekend. But I'm going to be in there after the Dynamo Colorado match. And for all of you who have been asking for a Soccer Matters mug, and I've got a lot of people asking for those, we're going to do something with the mugs down there. Either I'm going to hand them out or ask for a donation for Kick Cancer, something. But I'm going to have some mugs down there after the game. It'll take me a half hour to get there because I got to do TV post-game with my partner, Eddie Robinson. Game's going to be on Channel 2, and then I'm going to head over there. But we will have some of the mugs. Great place to go and digest the game, mix and match. We can talk about the game. So, again, it's King's Court, 903 Hutchins. Say hello to Jay, who runs the place. Great guy and one of the owners. All right, 713-780-3776. Bob Bradley, what do you think about Bob Bradley being named the Swansea manager? Let me get it going here and just play you. This will be I'm going to start with soundbite here from Brad Friedel, and this is on Bob Bradley's job at Swansea now.
Of course, and I understand the why some people will be questioning the move, and it's probably the biggest job that any American's ever taken on, with the exception of being the national team manager for the country. Is it a risk, isn't it? I mean, I know Bob really well. He's a very diligent man. He's a very bright man. Comes from Princeton as well. And I think he will be doing his groundwork behind the scenes to try to get people around him that understand the ins and outs of the Premier League. And I just heard Sav and there was someone else talking about the style of play. It will be different than what it was from Brendan Rodgers and Martinez. So I hope the fans will be prepared for that.
So that was Brad Friedel talking about Bob Bradley. So let's think a little bit about this. Hugh Jenkins of Swansea made this decision. The supporters trust that the club are disappointed. They're frustrated. They're a little angry that they were not consulted for this managerial role. This is a watershed moment for a U.S. manager. I don't think there's any question. Everybody's hoping Bob Bradley will do well because it can open the door of judgment. And if the judgment is good, might change the perception of the American manager. But nobody, and I say nobody, has made the effort and has had the desire to take the risk that Bob Bradley has. And he's going to be under the microscope real quick because his first game is going to be against Arsenal. And the quote, being American, is something that is judged. And it's judged very unfairly, I think, in a lot of ways. So let's take a listen to the former Celtic player, former Blackburn player, Chris Sutton. And here's what Sutton says on Bradley's qualifications.
Well, is Bob Bradley better qualified than Steve Bruce and Ryan Giggs to get this job? I don't think so. I don't really get it. Well, I do get it. They've got American owners now, haven't they? And that's essentially why he's got the job. I thought it was the right decision to change Guidolin. I think that Swansea, for me, since Guidolin has taken charge, have lost their identity, their way of playing. So they've been bold. They've made the decision early. I don't have a problem with that. But how Bob Bradley gets his job, I do not know.
So that's Chris Sutton, and that's how fiery some of the anti-Bradley qualification. Well, I think, and other people have made this, they have made this point. Bob Bradley's more qualified than Ryan Giggs, and it depends on what your criteria is. But when it comes to owning a locker room and managing a locker room as the head guy, Bob Bradley trumps Giggs. Certainly did in this situation. If Ryan Giggs was that coveted, why didn't he get the Manchester United job? I mean, these are all things you can talk about. The criteria is different. Politics is a part of it. I don't think there's any question that can open the door here. But I also think his experience and the way he interviewed, I think that has to be a piece of it, is important. Now, you know, the former managers like Brendan Rodgers, they put up Roberto Martinez, they put together some pretty free-flowing soccer. So what does this mean for the American manager? Can Bob Bradley produce more appealing football to the Swansea fans, or does that even matter? A la Brendan Rodgers and Roberto Martinez. What's most important for Bradley? Are you stunned that Bradley gets a job over Ryan Giggs, like we heard from Chris Sutton? You tell me. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. John, you're up on Bob Bradley. Come on, hello? John. There you are, John. You're on the air. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I've been supporting Swansea myself here in Houston for about 5 years or so now, and I'm really unfamiliar with kind of what Bradley likes to run. I know managers in the past of Swansea, like Monk and Rodgers and Laudrup, all ran kind of high-flying, real fast-paced soccer. It was really just a joy to watch. That's what kind of brought me to support them in the first place. So I'm really just kind of unfamiliar with what Bradley liked to run. I don't really remember a lot of the old U.S. men's national teams that he used to run. It was a little before I got into soccer. So I was wondering if you could just give me some insight on that.
Yeah, I would.
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a good phone call. So this is one of the issues around Bob Bradley. Stylistically, purpose of play. Swansea has some identity in that area. I think we all know Bob Bradley was about very organized, very collective teams, tight lines. How much risk, you know, you took when you were coaching the U.S. national team against bigger soccer-playing nations. But I think, you know, he's going to fit the mold of helping that team survive in the Premier League. You know, where do you think they'll end up? 10 to 14? Could they get as high as 10? Survival, is that the bar that they're going to set for Bob Bradley? 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. He's going to have to get in there and win a locker room. You got to hope he gets off to a good start. He starts with Arsenal. But I would think, you know, his great strengths are organization and team shape. Those are the things that really jump out to me with Bob Bradley. All right, Manchester Mac, you're up next. What's your thoughts? How are you?
Hey, Glenn, how are you doing, man?
Very good. What's on your mind?
I am completely shocked that Bob Bradley is the manager at Swansea over Ryan Giggs.
You're stoked about it, or you're upset about it?
No, I'm not upset about it. It's just completely surprising that they would go with a American coach over Ryan, considering Ryan's pedigree, how long he was at Manchester, how familiar he is with the EPL, and how he knows what the EPL style is, and Bradley doesn't have that experience. This is not a knock to Bradley at all. I think he was a manager for Team USA, better than Jurgen, and I'm still saying that and maintaining that. But I don't know. I mean, the EPL is a completely different game than what he's used to managing, so I really do hope that he is successful.
Are you blurring the lines of the playing career of Ryan Giggs? Because Ryan Giggs hasn't run a team as a full-time manager. Bob Bradley has gone to a World Cup. Bob Bradley has taken the risk to coach Egypt's national team when that country was absolutely going nuts during the Arab Spring. He went over to Norway, cut his teeth there. Then with Le Havre in the French League 2, was 1 point away or 2 points away from promotion into the French League 1. So, you know, it really depends on the criteria. Who might have interviewed the best? Do you think Bob Bradley might have interviewed better than Ryan Giggs?
That's probably the case.
And don't forget, you know, it's American ownership. That's certainly in Bob Bradley's corner. But, you know, I got to say, with what he's done and the risk he's taken, he gets it on merit in my case. I don't care what others say. There's a lot there to be honored and respected. Now the question is, can he get the job done? Because I think it's going to be a very differing pressure in the Premier League, potentially.
Absolutely. And I think if he hits the ground running and he's very successful early, there's going to be two schools of thought. Number one, a lot of English Premier snobs will be like, how can we let this American come in and beat like some of the better teams of the world because EPL thinks that it's better than everything else, which, yeah, no. And also, it'll be really encouraging because now you have just an American manager who was let go from Team USA and now is doing very well in the Premier League, and it's going to raise the eyebrows of American soccer, like, this is one of our guys.
Well,
he's doing in the EPL.
Yeah, I think it's all in time. I think it's going to be absolutely fascinating. There's only a handful of English managers in the Premier League now. I think it's only like four or five. So right. Guess what, Premier League? We're coming for all your managerial jobs. We're gonna punch you guys in the stomach for taking all our youth jobs here in America. We're coming at you. Be ready. Be ready. Bob Bradley's kicking the door open. There's a wave of us to follow. In all seriousness, I think, you know, these moments can there's gonna be tons of judgment. There already is. I think his first day on the job was today. So I think it's fascinating for anybody who's been in the coaching community here in the United States, like me at the youth level and straight on up to the professional coaches. Anybody who's been involved in player development in this country is going to be rooting for Bob Bradley. I don't think anybody's going to be rooting against him. And it's going to be looked upon as an unfashionable choice, probably by a lot of Swansea fans, because frankly, when you say American in management, we still don't get the respect. It was the same thing with players until players started kicking the door in over there. You know, guys like me in the 80s, we went over there and trained after maybe playing a friendly against them in America. And then guys like John Horks actually started signing contracts and playing and, you know, changing the perception of the American player. Thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much, man.
All right, let's go to Tin Man. Tin Man, what a great name. Tin Man, is that your alias?
That's my alias.
I like it. What's happening?
Yeah, just talking about Bob. I think some good points you've raised. I think he's a team, and you're seeing it a lot more often, I think, in the Premier League now where clubs will make changes early. I mean, there's just too much money involved to let something drift until, you know, November, December, close to the January transfer window. So I think it's a good move. I think your synopsis of how he plays or designs his team around shape, you know, consistent team effort, team ethic. I mean, that's what's needed to, and I've seen that this over, I guess, the last several years. You watch teams that have saved themselves from relegation. You see a manager come in like that, stabilise, get everyone pointed in the right direction, start getting some away draws, getting some points on the board, build some confidence, and I think it's a good move.
Tim, man, are you a Swansea fan?
No, I'm a Crystal Palace fan.
Ah, you're a Palace fan. Okay, good.
I've seen this go up and down like too many times, and I'm quite comfortable where we are now. But you know, you can't sit back and rest on your laurels. And I mean, as a Palace fan, just quickly, I'm hoping that January brings a creative midfielder and a solid defensive midfielder. I think just an aside, I think Tottenham did really well getting Sissoko, even though Newcastle held out to the very last second to get the full value for that man. But I think you watch how they're playing now with both him and Dembele in that team. They're looking very, very solid.
Tin Man, do you think American ownership will be under scrutiny here too as well for the hire? I mean, I think it's always under scrutiny with any of the Premier League clubs, but do you think that?
A little bit. I think I mean, there's, what, Arsenal's got American ownership. I mean, there's a few others in there that have, if not ownership, they have investment. I think Palace even has some US investment in there now. So I think that's a, you know, that's kind of might just be a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Ryan Giggs. I think he's the sort of guy that when he gets that first job, I don't think it'll be very hard for him to win the locker room. But keeping it's going to be another matter for him when they go through some adversity, whatever team he ends up managing. You know, I think this hire is, you know, you can be biased and maybe say it's an American hire, but I think you need to look at this is a manager who's going to come in, he's going to steal that side. We all want to see attacking, expansive football, but what's more important is finishing 17th or higher and getting at least £135 million and going again next season, and I think that's what this hire tells me, and I think American ownership might be or should be viewed in a positive for this hire because of that very reason.
Tin Man, thank you very much. We're up on a hard break. Great information there. I appreciate your phone call. Nice light you shed on the whole situation. We appreciate it. And best of luck to Crystal Palace.
Thanks, man. Take it easy.
All right. So that's Tin Man. We're going to take a quick break here. You know I'm passionate about great food and my friends at Liberty Kitchen. Well, guess what? They know how to serve up lunch, supper, and brunch better than most. Best burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder. They've got big flavor at a neighborhood social that it's a great place to go. In fact, I'm going to the Post Oak location after this one here tonight, River Oaks location, because I'm hungry right now, actually. They got the deviled eggs, the Creole gumbo, the oysters on the half shell, you name it, ribs and fish, chopped steak, signature cocktails, cold beer. It is Liberty Kitchen. It's a regular stop, and they are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, the NCAA Men's College Cup, December 9th, they're the semis, December 11th, the final. It's college soccer at its best for a national title right here in Houston. It's NCAA.com. We have so much great history with college soccer in Houston. We export players around the country to all these colleges and universities. We've had kids from our town win national championships. We've had coaches win national championships. Well, guess what? It's here in Houston. Let's make this thing stand. And by the way, high school coaches, youth coaches, you guys got to be behind this. Come on, get behind this. Think outside the box. Think outside your clubs and be guys that are pushing your players to get down there because, after all, that's the level you're trying to take them to. NCAA.com for the NCAA Men's College Cup, December 9th and 11th. We'll take a 7-up break right now. We're going to come back. We got so much more to go. We'll take phone calls. We got Tim Howard coming up. We got Casey Keller coming up. This is a big show here tonight.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, I speak on behalf of Bud Light right now. My favorite political party is the Bud Light Party. People say the country's divided. We disagree on everything. It's not true. We agree on a lot. Like puppy videos. Everybody loves puppy videos, three-day weekends, free parking, queso, margaritas. You know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. So raise one night right now and join the Bud Light Party and myself. Every Wednesday night for the best in soccer talk, a big thank you to Bud Light, who have been longtime sponsors of this show. Quick moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm as well. John Daspit and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. Whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, you might work in a plant or a refinery, you might drive an 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you that they will treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com, the Daspit Law Firm, working 24/7, nights and weekends for you. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. All right, I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick here. We got a Tim Howard interview we want to run, but I want to get quickly to Joseph and Ray. Joseph and Ray, what I need from you is your quick thoughts on the whole Bob Bradley situation. Joseph, go. You're up,
Joseph. I think it was a really good hire, and he's a perfect fit for Swansea. They're already a good pressing team. They just need to work in defense, and when it comes down to it, it's a really good hire. It's not just an American ownership hiring American coach. It makes sense once you see how the team is set up. And I think he's going to do really, really well. And it's my question to you, Glenn, is you think, knowing that he's been buying his time to get to the Premier League, to get to this high level, do you think he changes his setup? Because he's been known for a good second half coach, you know, really good, tactically sound. He can make the adjustments when he needs to in the second half. But do you think he has a surprise in the store?
He's not going to get to this point and change as a manager. He's going to take the strengths that he has produced and his look on the game as a manager. Obviously, he's studied the Premier League quite a bit. He knows the teams in the league. He probably knew there was an opportunity to get this job. So he's certainly I think he's going to be up for the moment, but he's got a lot of pressure on him. I appreciate that call, Joseph. Let's quickly go to Ray. Ray, what do you have to say on the Bob Bradley hiring?
I think it's a massive gamble, personally. His resume isn't that stellar. He's never been a tactical genius. And he's the first American coach. Regardless, he's still a foreigner with a foreign ownership, and the short list of coaches were not impressive at all. Really wonders, right, just how the man for the Swansea job really was.
Fair enough. We're going to let it stand, Ray. So there's two opposite end thoughts there. Let's go now to Tim Howard. This interview brought to you by HoustonDynamo.com. By the way, College Cup is going to be here in December 9th through 11th. It's NCAA.com. And tickets to the NWSL Championship. And I'm going to be giving them away tonight. NWSLChampionship.com. 4 o'clock Sunday. It's Washington against the Western New York Flash at BBVA Compass Stadium this Sunday. All right, here's my interview from earlier in the day with Tim Howard of the Colorado Rapids, who come to town Saturday to play the Dynamo. Well, we're excited that you're coming to Houston here. You're obviously a big draw coming in with the Colorado Rapids. Talk a little bit about this year and how collectively you guys have been such a good defending team.
I think there's an emphasis on making sure we defend as a team front to back, that we're a solid unit, this seems to be a league that has a lot of free scoring teams. And, I think that Pablo has made sure that we're solid at the back. That way we can kind of have a platform to go forward and score goals.
Talk about this league. And obviously you started with the Metro Stars and before that, the North Jersey Imperials. You get moved to the Metro Stars, but speak a little bit about how MLS has changed, now that you've been in it on a day by day basis after an outstanding career in Europe.
I think the league just in general has gotten better in all aspects. I think the supportive groups have grown, not only in numbers, but also have become more educated. The stadiums have become soccer specific. I think the individual players, there's just more quality front to back, all around. When I was first in MLS, the quality was poor. The quality of the individual player was poor. There was a couple of really talented guys, but for the most part, it wasn't great. And now you look around, and I think the highest paid players and the European stars are talented, but I also think the young American players and everyone in between is very, very talented.
He's Tim Howard joining us here, U.S. national team goalkeeper, Colorado Rapids goalkeeper. Rapids coming to town here this weekend to take on the Houston Dynamo. You can get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. You got some younger center backs and some differing players now of differing levels that you deal with as opposed to in the Premier League. How has that maybe adjusted the way that you work with your teammates and how the game is now in MLS?
Well, at 37, everybody's younger than me, so it's nothing new. I think that's part of the challenge that made me kind of hungry to take this opportunity to come to Colorado. There's a bunch of young guys who are trying to learn or trying to get better, and hopefully I'm a part of that, not only playing my part on the field, but also helping to get the group going in that direction. And there's a huge learning curve, particularly for young defenders. And so what's been really exciting for me to see is since I've gotten here and we've tried to implement some terminology and verbiage and body language and all the things that, go into gelling as a back unit. You know, these guys have taken it on board and tried out new things, and I think we've had some success with it.
You yourself have always seemed to be that type of guy, though, and I'm assuming that is a big reason also why Colorado wanted you to come to their city and to be a part of their team and really change the culture there and the direction of the club. Was that something that was spelled out to you during the negotiation process?
Yeah, look, it's something we spoke about, you know, and part of using your experiences, as I said, some of the things on the field, but off the field and in training is, you know, helping the team to grow, using that experience to teach, to lead, you know, all the intangible things. And so, yeah, that was certainly one of the reasons why I was brought in.
Tim, how long do you want to play? I mean, you know, we've seen in history Dino Zoff. We've seen goalkeepers go on, Pat Jennings, for a long, long time. You know, how long do you want to do this? Because it obviously looks like you are still enjoying this on a daily basis.
I am enjoying it. You know, I think the time for me to be done will be at the end of this contract, you know. When this contract runs out and after another three seasons, then it'll be the right time for me.
Coaching, management, is that something you think about?
No, I don't, not coaching so much. I think that's a very difficult road to go down. But yeah, I have some fun things that I like to do when I finish playing, so we'll see how that goes.
He's Tim Howard joining us here on ESPN. What a great night for us here to have Tim involved, and he is also coming to town to take on the Houston Dynamo. Let's just jump around to a couple of great moments and things here. And I'll start just with the goalkeeping position. How has that changed during the beginning of your career to now? How has it really changed, if at all, or maybe a lot?
I think it's changed leaps and bounds. You know, you have to be good with your feet. You have to play a high line. You have to be fit. You know, I think the old days of just being a kind of overweight shot stopper is out the window. You know, you have to, like I said, have a low body fat. You have to be able to read the game, be able to come off your line, you know, and snuff out danger, be a very good passer of the ball, and, of course, be a good shot stopper. So it's evolved as a position.
The individuality of the position, speak to me on that. Is that something that's pretty cool, being a goalkeeper? Obviously, you know, you got a different uniform, you're allowed to use your hands. There is a uniqueness to the position that I think goalkeepers certainly feel a brethren with.
Yeah, I think that you the individual part of it is fun at times. You know, it allows you to kind of get your work done off to the side on your own, you know, but ultimately, as I said, the game has evolved so much that the goalkeeper has really become part of that defensive unit more than it's ever been.
All right, I'm going to take you back to Giants Stadium. You grew up in New Jersey. Tons of people that have supported you in your game and have really just in wonderment watched your growth as a goalkeeper. You come out on the field to play for Manchester United, packed house. I believe it was Juventus, right?
Yeah.
Just tell me what was going on in your mind, you know, before that game. I mean, was your heart jumping out of your stomach or out of your chest?
Yeah, I mean, everything was going through my head at that point. I was just a young kid, you know, and I made the biggest leap, you know, in world football. And it was, I was just trying to kind of wrap my head around playing and getting folks to do that on the field. And it wasn't easy. It's hard. I always think it's hard to go back home and play, even as I've gotten older, you know. I feel a lot of pressure to play in front of my hometown fans and their fans who I love and appreciate in that tri-state area. So, yeah, you can imagine pulling on the shirt for Manchester United, having just played there for the Metro Stars a week or two before, was pretty tough.
Yeah, I'm going to take you back now to the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. The first time you walk out on a field to play in a World Cup, it's got to be the realization of a dream.
It is, you know, and it was against England in our opening match, which is obviously the country that I resided in for so long. And so it was a very cool, special moment. It was a culmination of a lot of hard work and dreams. And so that was certainly a milestone for me.
Tim Howard joining us here on ESPN. We're going to wrap this up shortly here, but we do appreciate very much his time. I just want to ask you about Everton and just what this love affair you had with the fans there and so many great years there with Everton. How do you cherish that? How do you keep that close to your heart?
It'll always, as you said, it was a love affair. You know, it was a club that, you know, has always, it felt like home for me. You know, it was a place that I walked through the doors every day for 10 years. You know, you get to know the people who work in the building and care about them, and you have this relationship with the fans year in and year out, day in and day out, and so it becomes part of your soul. You know, it's more than just a football club, and it's more than just work. You know, it becomes a place where you feel safe, and you know, they look after you, and you look after them, and so it'll always be my club. It's a place that, you know, I do hold dear because of the relationships that I was able to build and the good times that I was able to have.
How about Bob Bradley get named at Swansea? Obviously, your former manager, with all your experience in the Premier League, just some thoughts on that. Obviously, it's groundbreaking for an American manager.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited for Bob. He deserves the opportunity. He went over and blazed the trail and was the head coach of Egypt. At a very difficult time for them, and then he coached in Europe and France and in Scandinavia, and you know, for him to get an opportunity, there's nobody better for that job. And I think it's exciting for us as Americans because, like we said, he's a trailblazer. If he does well, it's going to open up so many doors because you know, where we are as a footballing country, the fact that we've never had an American Premier League manager is a pretty sad state. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure on him to do great, but, you know, he's always handled pressure so well, and he's always succeeded, and there's no reason to think that he won't be a huge success there.
Listen, it's without a doubt, and I know you know this, it's a polarizing signing when it comes to people in England. You know, it's been interesting to listen to all the feedback about this and the positions people are taking. Is it a different kind of pressure in the Premier League, Tim, than Bob has ever faced?
Well, you know, he was, I don't know. I mean, maybe so. Like I said, he's well equipped to handle it. You know, he took us to a World Cup. He was the head coach of Egypt when the country was in civil turmoil. So, I mean, you know, I don't think he'll worry too much about the media and their ability to be unrelenting. You know, he'll do his job and do it to the best of his ability. And he is someone who commands respect from everybody around him.
Well, Tim, great stuff. Last thing before we go, tell me about Colorado. Are you an outdoor guy and some of the things you do off the field for fans that are interested in what you like doing in your spare time away from the game?
You know, I'm not too outdoorsy, but the life of an athlete is the opposite of what everyone thinks. It's very boring. I spend a lot of time trying to rehabilitate my body so that it can perform at a high level, and I get lots of rest and you know, it's not glamorous. I'll tell you that. When I finish playing, you know, I'll enjoy the skiing and all the sights and sounds. But right now, I'm just focused. But Colorado's been a great place. The people have been amazing. I love all the different neighborhoods in and around the city. So that part is exciting for me.
You know what? You're like Bob Bradley. You're trailblazing, Tim. A kid from New Jersey, cutting it in Colorado. I love it. You're making it happen.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you very much for coming on the show. We do really appreciate it, and thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, the one and only Tim Howard there. What a great catch for us tonight here. And Tim, just remarkable to watch his career and how wonderful he has been in goal. But just to watch it from the beginning and all the way through, it has been a real joy. We'll take a break here on ESPN 97.5.
I got a question, as serious as cancer. Who can keep the average dancer hyper as a heart attack? Nobody smiling.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, before we get to Casey Keller, quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. Whether your accident is a car, a boat, you might work in the construction field, plant, or at a refinery. We have tons of those off downtown. 18-wheeler driver. The Daspit Law Firm will assure you that they will treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Reminder, get down to Midtown, Bar Munich, one of the great soccer-watching spots in Houston, Bar Munich. Say hello to my good friend there, Raymond. Great open, airy spot. Football fans, you'll love it right in the heart of Midtown. It's Bar Munich on Louisiana. BarMunich.com, a Soccer Matters pub. All right, with that, we go to a legendary goalkeeper for the United States, blazed real pass over in England as a goalkeeper himself and an American player. He's Casey Keller joining us from U.S. Men's National Team Camp. Casey.
Hey, Glenn.
Great to have you on. Thank you very much for doing this. I know you're a very busy man. Let's just get some general thoughts on the U.S. camp with a lot of newbies in there and how you think it's going so far.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those interesting and don't happen very often in the middle of kind of qualifying. You've got a group of friendlies where you're able to look at a few different things, look at some different players and not really worry about results. Obviously, with the really kind of the main view still that first game in the hex with Mexico and Columbus. So you get an opportunity to kind of work some things out, get some guys going, but then understand that you still have a huge game coming up next month.
You know, I'm curious because you got some young goalkeepers in there. I don't think the U.S. fans know that much about Ethan Horvath, William Yarborough, we've seen, who plays for León in Mexico, and then David Bingham is a bright star in Major League Soccer. How about a couple comments on each of those goalkeepers from a goalkeeping mind like Casey Keller?
Well, I think it first starts from, you know, I think understanding obviously where Tim and Brad are at this stage of their career, and we understand that they're pretty undoubtedly, you know, your number ones. I think Jurgen has kind of made that clear that he's got two number one goalkeepers, and that's why at times he's been rotating him. So this is kind of one of those chances that you're always thinking in the back of your mind, what happened? Just what if, you know, what happens if these two guys go down and who do I have to rely on? And how do I know who to rely on if I don't get them a game or two when the opportunity comes? And you look at this camp as one of those opportunities. And, you know, you're looking at Ethan Horvath, you know, a young goalkeeper playing in Molde in Norway, who's really kind of, you know, came on the radar with the youth teams and is proving himself week in and week out, and that's, you know, and that's one of those criteria, which is so difficult for a young goalkeeper, is finding the situation that gives you the opportunity to play week in and week out. He's had some Champions League experience, you know, some good league experience, and continues to prove himself. And, you know, Yarbo, another kid who gave himself a chance, you know, kind of maybe going a little bit different route. You know, with parents who were living in Mexico, and kind of learned his way, you know, through that, and being, you know, the gringo in Mexico and proving himself at that stage. So, you know, so the Loon's a player that's been into a lot of camps and played a couple games, has a couple caps, but hasn't really, you know, got that opportunity, you know, for the long haul. And then David Bingham, a player that through, you know, San Jose has proven himself in MLS, and then, you know, Jurgen's very quick to, you know, give these kids, regardless, goalkeeper, field player, whatever, if they seem to be proving themselves week in and week out for their club team, you know, then let's bring them into the national team and see if they can take it to that next level. And obviously, as a goalkeeper, it's that much more difficult because only one of you plays, and you're not coming on as a sub to prove yourself and to go out there and have the coaches say, wow, look at what he did off the bench. Let's give him a chance to start this next game. So this is one of those opportunities to be, you know, in the spotlight, to be in front of the team without the shadows of a Tim Howard or a Brad Guzan to try to make a little bit of a name for yourself.
He's Tim Howard, goalkeeping legend. You know, Tim, I look at your career going over to England and Germany and Spain and the trailblazing that you did, and you were part of a group of guys who, you know, you guys had to put up with a lot of, for lack of a better word, you know what, right? you had a lot of judgment. You had a lot of preconceived notions. People didn't think you could play the game. You guys blazed a path. Now, do you see this in some ways similar with Bob Bradley on the management side of things?
Well, I think there is, you know, because obviously when I first got over, I was kind of the first American to play, consistently in England on an American passport. You know, Harksey had been there before me playing on a British passport. And, I think Miola was over for, and I think played a game for Brighton and then, you know, kind of went back to America, and Jürgen Sommer was there at Luton, hadn't quite broken into the first team, but was playing on a German passport. And so, I mean, there was so much of, you know, the conversation as I started to play and play regularly, where the reporter almost prefaced every interview with, okay, first of all, you know, what is an American doing here? And then what is an American doing here playing so well? And so I think, you know, as I kind of, you know, earned their respect and later, you know, obviously as, you know, more Americans were able to come over and prove themselves, it didn't become, you know, that, you know, what's an American doing here? Well, now with Bob getting this coaching job at Swansea, it's back to those questions. And you're hearing a lot of those questions that I had to deal with 20 years ago. I think it's 25 years ago now, Glenn. I'm getting old.
Millwall 92, right?
Yeah, well, I got there December of 91. So the 91-92 season, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing, you know, almost the same rhetoric 25 years ago, but from the managerial side, just saying, you know, what is this, you know, what is going on here? You know, how is America here? And I think some of it isn't necessarily that he's American. I think some of it is just that, you know, he's just an unknown quantity there. You know, it's not like if it had been, you know, Brian McBride coming over to go coaching, or myself, or Friedel, or, you know, so, you know, even John Harkes. I mean, guys where they could say, oh, yeah, remember, he played at Sheffield Wednesday, he did this, he played at Blackburn, he played at Fulham. I remember watching him play, I remember, or if Bob had come over and, you know, maybe it had a Champions League run with a team or a Europa League Cup, and say, oh, yeah, remember when he was coaching this team, he was coaching Stabæk, and they beat, you know, they beat Chelsea in Europa League or whatever it was. And so, and kind of without those kind of caveats on his CV, it kind of made it that little bit of a big question mark, is kind of back to the point, you know, who are you and how did you get here kind of thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know what I loved about your career? Everywhere you went, you played a lot of games. You know, you weren't having a cup of tea at places. I'm looking here at your stats. Millwall, Leicester City, you had 99 appearances according to this. Rio, you had 50-plus in Spain. Then you come back to Spurs, 80-plus. Then you go.
Well, those are only league games. So yeah, when you count cup games as well.
But, I mean, even these just being league games, it's impressive.
Well, and that was kind of, I mean, I always wanted to make sure, you know, that for me, you know, going to these clubs and not playing really didn't make any sense to me. I mean, for me, it was, you know, you go places because that's where your career takes you. I mean, of course, it's professional sports, so you go and it's about earning money. But at the same time, I mean, I would have, you know, much rather earned less money and played week in and week out than going to a big club, making a little bit more money and never seeing the field. So, you know, look, I'm not judging somebody else who goes a different path and does whatever's right for them and whatever's right for their career. But for me, playing was important, and I wanted to go places. You know, when I had played, you know, every minute of every game for, you know, several seasons for Spurs, and when it was clear that Spurs was going in a younger direction, in a British direction, which I wasn't young and I wasn't British, so it was time for me to move on. It wasn't a case of, they said, Casey, we'd love you to stay. We'd love you to be a backup, whatever. I said, no, I don't want to be a backup. I want to go play somewhere. And so I had the opportunity to go to Mönchengladbach and be a part of, you know, such a big storied team in the Bundesliga in the lead up to the 2006 World Cup, and obviously being hosted in Germany and to be playing there. So for me, the experience was a huge part, but a huge part of that experience was playing week in and week out.
Well, Casey, listen, we're up on a hard break. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. We need to carry this conversation on in the future again.
Anytime, Glenn.
Doing great work on Fox and ESPN and double duty, doing great work with the national team. Best of luck against Cuba and New Zealand. And thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, Casey Keller. And by the way, he owes me a Mai Tai. We'll take a quick break here. Before we go to break, just remind you that I'm speaking on behalf of Soccer Matters and also my favorite political party, the Bud Light Party. People say the country's divided. We disagree on everything. It's not true. We agree on a lot. Puppy videos. Everybody likes puppy videos. Three-day weekends, free parking, margaritas, Messi and Cristiano. You know what else? Everybody loves beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. So raise one right now and join the Bud Light Party with me, and join me on Wednesdays, 7 o'clock. It is the best in soccer talk. And the Richmond Arms Kingshead Pub, book your party. That's the place to go for watching games as well. One of our Soccer Matters pubs. Richmond Arms, Houston's premier soccer pub. Kingshead and Richmond Arms, designed and built with soccer in mind for your superior watching entertainment. Come watch your favorite clubs this upcoming season. Check it out, richmondarmsonline.com or the kingsheadpubhouston.com. We also welcome as a new sponsor, Kings Court, right by the Dynamo Stadium on 903 Hutchins, south side of the stadium. Killer British pub food, Indian food, great selection of beers, cocktails, rooftop view. What a view of downtown and the stadium at night. It's actually very cool. Grab a meal, great DJs. It's a cool vibe. It is a real football bar. It's a real football pub. I'll see you after the Dynamo Colorado game this weekend and after the NWSL championship this Sunday. Go down there, say hello to Jay, and we'll take a break. We'll come back. It's a 7-Up break. I'ma break them off until the backbone broken. Stainless steel drop, fat 'em, leave the top open. Then hit the fan, better cover your nose. And the start burning, better cover your clothes. ESPN 97.5.